No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know. Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Get in touch with technology with Tech Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey there, and welcome to Tech Stuff. I'm Jonathan Strickland.
And I'm Lauren Vogelbaum.
And we have a special person joining us this week.
Special person? Yes. That makes it sound a little bit...
Well, he's a special guest.
There you go.
And
Excellent.
He is special.
He's very special.
He is our good friend and yours. He's the guy who tells you the stuff that they don't want you to know, Mr. Ben Bowen.
Hey guys, thanks so much for having me on the show. I've got news from my co-host, Matt Frederick. Unfortunately, Matt is diligently working, and right now he said he is here in spirit, but he can't be in here in person.
Right. He had planned on joining us, and this would have been a crazy four-person podcast, something that has never been attempted ever in the history of the internet.
Ooh.
I'm not sure if that's, but yeah, no, very impressive. Yes.
At least not,
absolutely.
Not in the history of tech stuff at any rate.
Right.
But unfortunately, yes, he is slammed. He, of course, is also a video editor, and, you guys might not know this, that takes some time. So, but the reason we decided to bring Ben in is because you may remember, if you listen to this show often, back in April, Lauren and I did an episode about Tor and the deep web.
Uh-huh. And at the end of the show, we said, hey guys, would you like to learn more about how you can actually surf the web anonymously? And all of you said yes. Every single one of you.
In fact, yeah, some of you voted more than once, which we appreciate the enthusiasm. So we have been trying to find the right time to get together and have a discussion about what exactly it takes to really surf the web anonymously. And Ben, as we have all discovered, it's not just a simple thing that you hit a little switch in your browser and you're good to go.
Yeah, it's a situation where we quickly learn the difference between the concept of something being possible and the concept of something being plausible.
Yeah.
It is possible to access the web anonymously finger quotes, if you're very, very careful and you take a lot of time and you do some things that we're going to talk about today, it is not plausible that you will succeed.
It's not plausible, certainly, the more frequently you access the web, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, because the more times you need to do it, the harder it's going to become for you to sustain that anonymity.
And the more you want to do. If you're doing like one thing, that's fine. If you're trying to browse Netflix, it's not really.
Yeah. If you're logging into your Netflix account, really, we have some bad news for you. Anything that involves the username, password, probably not really the most anonymous of activities. Mm-hmm. But first, just as an overview, there are a lot of different reasons why someone might want to surf the web anonymously, right?
Some are even completely legit.
Yeah, we can get the shady ones out of the way. I mean, obviously, if you're planning on doing something that is, not strictly speaking legal.
Yeah, like, Lauren, Jonathan, you and I, Matt, decide that it's finally time that we rob that bank. And then we say, okay, there are a couple of things we need to learn about banks and security cameras and escape routes and stuff like that. We would want to surf the web anonymously, but that is, as you said, just something we need to get away from at the top, because there are so many legitimate reasons that people, not just in the United States, but around the world especially, would have to surf the web anonymously.
Right. So, for example, one of the ones that you hear over and over are journalists, reporters, right? People who perhaps have to communicate with a source, and that source needs to remain anonymous in order for this information exchange to happen.
Or to protect their own safety.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We could be talking about someone who's giving a very high level security leak kind of information that really has the potential to affect millions of people. This is kind of like that Snowden situation.
Exactly.
Right?
Glenn Greenwald and Edward Snowden.
So you would definitely want to maintain that person's anonymity, as well as, you know, the communications that are going on between you, until you are ready to publish a full story. Mm-hmm. Now, responsible journalists are going to be doing things like making sure that the information they get is as verifiable as possible before moving forward. So it's not like we're just saying, this is a way for people to spread misinformation, although that does happen.
Right, yeah.
But it is totally cromulent for a journalist to want to have this kind of level of anonymity when trying to coordinate this sort of stuff.
Sure. Also, in the tech sector, for example, if you're developing a new piece of technology or a new iteration of a technology, and you don't want other companies to know what you're up to.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, how many times have we seen leaks from things like a supply chain where we learn about upcoming? Apple is probably the best example of this, right? Because everyone is so invested in learning what Apple's next product is, that you've got an intense level of scrutiny on the entire supply chain, from the point where they're building the chips to the screens to assembling the whole piece together, so that you could have security totally locked down at Apple, and somewhere else along the chain there might be a leak. Well, even that extends even to just the research and development phase, where people are using the internet for legitimate purposes. And they don't want that information getting out there. They want to have as much secrecy there as possible, especially if people are aware, like, hey, Jim down the street? Mm-hmm. Did you know that Jim is like the head of product development for Apple's iPhone? Like, that would be like, people would be like, oh, you don't say.
Exactly. Which is good that they're using such a non-suspicious voice to play it off the news about Jim.
Right.
You certainly should not be twirling your mustache as I was doing.
So there are a number of other reasons as well. And in many cases, these are things that might sound overly dramatic, but it really does happen. Internet access is not created equally by any means.
Right.
And we're going to explore some things that might sound foreign to a lot of a lot of listeners who are not who are not acquainted with this. And one of the biggest reasons that people would need anonymous internet access is something that's kind of personally important to me for people to have this right. If you're in a country where government dissent is not allowed, or where you can be penalized for going on, the Chinese version of Twitter or something, then you need to be able to have some sort of safe way to do this.
Right.
And unfortunately, in many countries, there's not really a legal way to do this.
Sure.
Right?
Yeah. So we have a, like, let's take the definition of human rights as, say, would be defined by the United Nations.
Okay.
There are some countries out there that have policies that kind of go against a lot of those definitions.
Mm-hmm.
And if you believe that humans actually possess these rights, whether they belong to one country or another, then you probably also believe that they need to have this kind of ability to remain anonymous and yet voice their concerns, their mm-hmm. thoughts, to be able to assemble at least virtually and be able to tell that they are not a lone person in a sea of darkness, this kind of
wow.
stuff. I mean, it does yeah. sound like we're going dramatic, but yeah. this is the Arab Spring was
oh,
proof
yeah,
of
yeah.
this.
This is a literal situation that happens. Yeah, no, being able to share your ideas and also access information is so important.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And is denied to many citizens of this world. So,
and for those of us who live, who are fortunate enough to live in places that at least ostensibly protect those human rights.
Right.
You know, there's still other things that we could become victim to. For example, just people who want to cause mischief or hackers who want mm-hmm. to target you for one reason or another. And it may not even be that they want to target you specifically, but you just kind of want to avoid all of that and cut down on all that possibility. You may just want to surf the web anonymously because there are only certain things you want to have access to.
Mm-hmm.
You don't care about everything else out there.
Right.
So it's not like you're going to go on YouTube and watch a billion videos. It's not like you're going to go on Facebook and update your status profile. All you want to do is be able to research something, read up on something, whatever. And that's it. You might want to be able to surf the web anonymously just to avoid the possibility that you're going to run into, you know, troublemakers.
Okay. So, but here's the question then, right? And I think we've done a great job showing this, this need and this legitimate interest in anonymous web use. Why is it so difficult? Why is it possible but not plausible?
Okay, well, first of all, just the way the internet works makes it really, really hard, right? Because in order for you to be able to get any information to your computer, that information has to know where to go,
mm-hmm.
right? It has to know what pathway to take so that it gets from the server where it lives on to your computer so you can see it. Now, this is no matter what kind of service you're using on the internet, if you're trying to access something, as long as you're not just pushing stuff out and you're expecting to get something back, it has to know where to go. The thing I was thinking of was, imagine like you are trying to send a message to somebody and I want to get a note specifically to Lauren, and Lauren has happened to take a trip where she's all the way out in California.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I've chosen to get the message to her is I've written the message in code, and I've left no identifying information on it whatsoever. I've even used my right hand instead of my left hand to write the code, so my handwriting is disguised. I then wrap that message up in a little ribbon, tie it to a helium balloon, let it go, and hope that somehow the balloon finds its way to Lauren, that she is able to decode the message, mm-hmm. able to decipher, despite the fact that I've left no identifiable information in there about who sent the message, who it was who wrote it, and then in turn be able to respond in a similar way and send that message back to me where it just magically makes its way to me. Clearly, that scenario is impossible,
mm-hmm.
right?
I mean, yeah. The real way that the internet works is more like if the postal system was made entirely of clear boxes.
Yeah.
And everyone passing the box along the route from you to whoever you're sending it to can see exactly what's going on in it.
Right.
Unless you've taken some kind of step to you
encrypted
or to encrypt it.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm. So if you have an encrypted message, let's say that you've got a clear box, which inside of it is an opaque box. So you know that there's a box, you know approximately how much information is there, and you know where it's coming from, and you know where it's going to because you have to have that address, or else the data just doesn't go anywhere. It would go to that first stop on the internet,
uh-huh.
and then there'd be nowhere to go because you wouldn't have any information saying, hey, send this message to this destination.
No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I can't fly without my portable chargers and noise-canceling headphones keeping me immersed, and I'd be lost without my smartphone. In a new place, it's my connection to the familiar. I rely on it to get directions around town, I use my smartphone to look up things to do, or, most importantly, where to eat. In countries where I don't speak the language, my phone becomes a universal translator. And heck, it can double as a digital camera, giving me the opportunity to snap unforgettable pictures of the sights that inspire me and fill me with joy. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
So because you have to have these IP addresses so that information can actually go to where it needs to go and get back to where it needs to get back to, that limits how anonymous you can be, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that IP address can be assigned by an internet service provider, and it doesn't have to have anything to do with whatever machine you're on, right? The computer you're using does not necessarily, it's not going to have the same IP address all the time.
Yeah, it's not like tattooed with a barcode or something like that.
But
well, I mean, probably it literally is, but the barcode is not its IP address.
Right, right. So that IP address is going to at least have a general idea of the geography that you are in. Mm-hmm. And based upon your habits, what you use the internet for, that might be enough. Just the general geography and your pattern of using the internet, mm-hmm. that could be enough to identify who is using the internet. Because the way I browse the internet could be extremely different from the way, say, Lauren does.
Mm-hmm. And I highly suspect it is.
I imagine so.
Right.
Aside from when we're researching the same topic, in that case, I think we find literally all of the same articles.
I am pretty sure that I watch a lot more YouTube videos about families surprising their kids with trips to Disney than Lauren does.
I think you guys are about one for one on corgi videos, though.
The corgi videos, yes, they rank highly on both sides, but they're anomalies.
Right.
If you were only looking at corgi video activity, then you might not be able to determine whether it's Lauren or whether it's me.
Which is a great point, because it goes back to earlier. We can all recall hearing the big stink in the United States about the government tracking metadata.
Yeah.
And people would say, well, you know, metadata is not a big deal. It's just stuff like the address and the time. And it's more the it's more like the measurement of the pages of a book than the description of the story. However, from that, the reason it's important is exactly what you're saying, Jonathan, because it is possible to build not just a profile of a mm-hmm. person, but to find the actual person from enough of that metadata.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and it doesn't take that much, really, especially for particular types of metadata. For example, if you have a zip code mm-hmm. and maybe a car make and model, well, that and a gender, well, then you've really got enough information to really narrow it down to a handful of people, because you know, that you've got a population within a zip code. Mm-hmm. The gender will divide that essentially in half.
Right. And so, how many of those people have a 2004 Camry?
Yeah. And then you have essentially really narrowed it down to a very small number of potential people. This is why it doesn't really require that much personal identifiable information to track it back to a specific person. Now, there's some things on the internet that are not necessary for the internet to work, mm-hmm. right? Or like, especially for web browsing. So, for example, cookies. Cookies are not necessary to make the web work, although you'll probably go to a page occasionally that says this website uses cookies and
let us tell you how.
Yeah, enable them so that this website will work the way it's supposed to. Cookies are just text files. They can include enough information that could be useful to the person using the website to customize your experience. Like the intent is so that if you keep going back to the same website frequently, it already knows things that you do and do not need, and so it'll load much faster. It'll give you a more personalized mm-hmm. experience. Mm-hmm. But it also means that there's some tracking that can happen there, and mm-hmm. identification that can happen there. Mm-hmm. So turning that off is probably something you would want to do if you want to be anonymous. And we'll go into more about that in a bit.
Oh, Jonathan, welcome back to Amazon.
Yeah.
Based on your browsing preferences.
I can't wait to hear this.
Yeah. Here are several calendars of corgis.
Okay, that's fair. That's fair. I just recently made a purchase, so I was wanting to see if perhaps somehow it was going to tie into what I actually bought. But
we were close,
but not quite. And then things like search engines mm-hmm. can maintain activity logs. Mm-hmm. So, and those will link back to an IP address. So let's say that you are using a computer, you've logged into the internet, your computer has an IP address, and you start searching for various terms. This kind of goes back to that idea of the four of us are all searching about robbing a bank.
Right.
Now,
exactly.
That information, let's say we're all using Google, because it makes it easier if we just go ahead and use an example.
Mm-hmm.
Google's maintaining this activity log of all four of us independently using Google to research everything there is to research about robbing a bank. Mm-hmm. And then later on, the law enforcement officials subpoena Google to get those activity logs so that they can see who it is in this geographic region that was mm-hmm. looking for this stuff. That's another reason why when you start talking about really being anonymous using the web, you have to shy away from all the conveniences that make the web so useful mm-hmm. in situations where you're not as concerned about your anonymity.
Yeah, that's a really great point. And that's something that, oddly enough, we were exploring both on this show and on Car Stuff, because there's this big idea about cars becoming connected to the cloud, right?
Oh, right, sure. Right. And the whole internet of cars knowing exactly where you are all the time.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly.
And Jonathan's been parked outside of this dance club for a really long time. He's cutting a rug.
And that's how Jonathan's car would sound.
Yeah. I like to think that all my technology has weird affectations in its speech.
I hope so. Because what else is the future would be no fun.
No,
if we couldn't do
it
that.
Would just right. be, yeah, it could all be like robot voice, but that gets old pretty quickly.
Right. So the purpose of this great thing called the internet is inherently to share things that are easily seen. It
yes.
is not to hide things. So it's already, it's already unsurprising if you think about it, that it's really difficult to participate in something that is all about telling people stuff.
Yeah.
In a way that doesn't.
It's a communications platform.
Exactly.
And if you're trying to be completely anonymous in a communications platform, that's tricky. I mean, there are obviously message boards out there that allow for complete anonymity.
Mm-hmm.
And
complete.
Complete being in air
and,
quotes.
In air quotes, which work really well over the radio.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's definitely one of those things where, the anonymity kind of can inhibit mm-hmm. a lot of what makes the internet so useful. So,
Especially in these are modern internet times,
yeah.
like as the internet has grown and big data has grown and all these things we've been talking about, websites storing information from you so that they can serve you better headlines that you're more likely to want to click on,
mm-hmm.
you're evading the point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's a good way to say it. So with this, we've painted the difficulty. We've talked about the reasons why you want to do it. So, for all the people who wrote in and voted more than once saying, yes, tell me how to surf anonymously. What would they do, you guys? I'm asking for a friend.
Okay. Well, Ben, your friend needs to know that if your friend, if he or she is truly determined
uh-huh.
to surf the web anonymously, he or she should be prepared to go to great lengths in order to do so, including if he or she plans on doing this more than once, not using the same device.
Ah, burner laptops. I like it.
Yeah. Step one, don't use your own device.
Ever.
No. Yeah. Not connected to the internet anyway. Step one is don't use your own device. Step two is you probably don't want to use like a mobile device that connects to the internet.
Because absolutely not.
It's likely registered to you or to someone you know.
Uh-huh. I mean,
and most of them have some form of way of identifying where you are. So even if somehow you magically have a phone working where there's not a direct link between you and the phone, the fact that it is going to be able to determine where it is geographically, either
just pinging the tower.
Yeah, just cell phone towers, or it may have GPS enabled too. That's going to give an even more specific location.
Sure. I mean, you can turn 3G or 4G or whatever you have. Mm. You can turn satellite service off on your phone. However, then you need to be connected to Wi-Fi, and you can't just connect to, I mean, you can't just call up Comcast and be like, hey, I'd like to get some internet, but anonymously.
Who is this? Never mind.
Yeah. That's a really good way to not get an account, right. not that I know personally.
The same thing is true about just internet service providers in general. Like
you're
saying, like whether it's Comcast or whatever the ISP is. If you are trying to use your own, say, your own setup at home, then automatically your ISP
knows who you are.
They know exactly. They know which account it goes to at any rate. So, you know, that means that it's narrowed down who could potentially be the person actually doing the searches.
Yeah.
It's pretty much anyone who has access to your household.
Which is why if you're really trying to make this happen, ladies and gentlemen, you will need to find the most public computer possible. We're talking about libraries, cyber cafes, college campuses.
Yeah. Yeah. You want to be able to use a computer where, first of all, there's a possibility that any number of individuals could have been using that computer.
Exactly. Plausible deniability.
Right, right. Yeah. It's one of those safety in numbers kind of issues that kind of comes up a lot in our discussion, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's one thing. You don't want to use the same one twice in a row. So if your session is over and then you think, oh, shoot, I need to go do something else, you probably need to go to a different site. In fact, a different site entirely, like not even on that same network, would be the best choice for you.
I mean, ideally, the scary thing is about this, that the more you think about it, the larger the scale becomes, because then, yes, you don't want to be on the same site. Yes, you don't want to be on the same network. Do you want to be in the same city? Do you want to be in the, you know what I mean?
Because it would be preferable to jump state borders, really, at that point.
Which, right. Which is a heck of a long drive just to,
here in Georgia.
Other, yeah.
Maybe you should try to surf the web anonymously from Rhode Island.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Okay.
And also.
Let's do that, guys.
you would probably want to still try and hide the IP address you're actually using. So you probably want to use a proxy.
Mm-hmm.
Proxies, by the way, come in all shapes and sizes. So some proxies you might see and you think, oh, well, this is perfect. I'm going to go log into this proxy. Then from the perspective of anyone outside of my browser, it's going to look as if the proxy is the computer that's doing all the searches, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Ben, let's say you are in our bank robbery scenario, you log into a proxy, you start searching information because you're going to be the bag man. You need to know what a bag man is because you actually don't know. You agreed to it without actually knowing what the definition of the term was.
Yeah, I just yes-anded, and now I'm like the intern in this bank robbery.
You didn't want to admit to the other people that you didn't know what a bag man was.
No, I wanted to look cool. Like, I'm lucky I knew about proxies.
Yeah, so now you've gone to look up the definition of bag man. We don't have any dictionaries nearby, so you know, you're thinking, I gotta get online.
Mm-hmm.
You log into a cyber cafe, and you go use a proxy so that instead it looks like the proxy computer is the one that's doing the research. So that way, if someone ever starts to try and trace it back, they're going to go to this proxy, but they're not going to get to you.
Right.
At least in theory, because a proxy could very well, I mean, first of all, they know that you are using the service. Otherwise, again, the communication can't ultimately get to your computer.
It's just somebody else, to Lauren's earlier comparison, it's just somebody else carrying that clear box for you.
Yeah. So if the proxy keeps activity logs, then there's the potential that law enforcement could trace back to that proxy and then serve a subpoena saying we want to see all the activity logs so we can figure out which individual user used this proxy service to get access to this information.
And this has happened.
Yeah.
This is not a theoretical thing. Law enforcement has gone to VPNs and to proxies and said, okay, give us the paperwork. Tell us who was here.
Yep.
3:45 in the afternoon Googling Bagman.
There's no guarantee either that a proxy is going to encrypt information for you. So it may very well be that, again, that pathway leads to the proxy, but there might be enough information anyway for them to be able to identify that Ben, in fact, was the one doing all the searches.
No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I can't fly without my portable chargers and noise-canceling headphones keeping me immersed, and I'd be lost without my smartphone. In a new place, it's my connection to the familiar. I rely on it to get directions around town, I use my smartphone to look up things to do, or, most importantly, where to eat. In countries where I don't speak the language, my phone becomes a universal translator. And heck, it can double as a digital camera, giving me the opportunity to snap unforgettable pictures of the sights that inspire me and fill me with joy. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know.
Working remotely, where you are shouldn't dictate what you do. Work from the road by turning your vehicle into a reliable high-speed data Wi-Fi hotspot with AT&T in-car Wi-Fi. On the network that covers more roads than any other carrier, take your work on the road and AT&T will be there to keep you connected. Connect up to 10 devices and stream conference calls, finish up that presentation, or answer last-minute emails. Why wait? Go to att.com/in-car Wi-Fi today for free trial eligibility. Based on independent third-party data, number of devices varies by manufacturer. Always pay careful attention to the road and don't drive distracted. Wi-Fi hotspot intended for passenger use only when vehicle is in operation. Compatible device and vehicle required.
Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business and evolving your passions. They push what technology can do so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com. Welcome to now.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
So a VPN tends to be a better choice because VPNs do encrypt a lot of stuff. So the problem with VPNs, of course, is that, first of all, you got to pay into them. So, again, there's a connection between you and the VPN.
Exactly.
And depending upon the VPN's policy, that may end up becoming an issue. Because even if we're not talking about bank robbing, if we're instead we're talking about Ben is in a foreign country and he's trying to get a message out to his family. Well, that's an issue, right?
Thanks for the redeeming example, Jonathan. But why am I the guy? Why can't you be in Turkmenistan?
Well, because I don't really leave my house.
Oh,
much.
Right. That's a, you know, that's right.
I think statistically speaking, you are of the three of us here the most likely to be.
I could
in
just see you like walking down Moreland, taking a wrong turn, and ending up there. I mean,
that's true. I have a terrible sense of direction.
Like Bugs Bunny,
exactly. He just hits a little wormhole and goes from downtown Atlanta, Georgia to.
That's
to,
true.
You know, some other
people,
country.
Yeah, people do have to have. Communications that way, but even with all we've done now is we're talking about ways to raise the to make it more inconvenient to figure out
for
who
someone
we
to
are.
Track you down.
Now, if you want to go the next step, so we're talking about you're using some sort of proxy service, whether it's VPN or an actual web proxy to hide. But let's say that you want to go even further. One thing you got to be concerned about is the computer you are actually on, the device you're using at that moment. So if you are at a public place like a library and you're logging into a computer and you want to make sure that all of your activity on that computer does not stay there so that the, you know, let's say that they get access to the actual physical computer you used, they could track back who you are that way, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you want to be able to disable the cookies on that browser. You don't want anything coming back. You want to disable things like Flash and Java because these programs can often have identifiable information sent along, stuff that doesn't even seem to be necessary for whatever it's supposed to be doing within the context of the web page.
Right.
Disable all that. If you really want to go super spy, then you should also probably load a program onto like a USB flash drive that will allow you to boot the computer into a separate operating system than the one the computer natively runs that is specifically geared to allow you to log into something like Tor, the Onion router.
Yeah.
So there are such things. There are such devices that or such programs you can put onto a USB device like the Amnesiac Incognito Live system, also known as Tails. That's a Linux-based stripped-down operating system. Really, all it's meant to do is, you know, you would turn the computer off, which is already going to be an issue in a public library, trust me.
Right, yeah.
You'd plug this USB thumb drive into the port, turn the computer back on. It will boot from the USB. So instead of running its normal boot system, it'll go to the USB for it. Load this stripped down OS that's just launching this Tor interface, and then you could access what you needed, turn everything off again, unplug the USB, turn it back on, and then you're gone.
And you're wearing gloves if you have even the first idea that you might be trapped.
You probably exfoliated thoroughly to get rid of all possible.
You should probably shave all of your body hair.
Yeah, straight from the clean room.
Right.
It sounds like we're being silly, but no, if you seriously are talking about doing everything you possibly can to preserve anonymity, this is like the level of extreme you have to go to because there's so many different ways to leave behind traces.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm really glad that you said that because when we talk about this booting up and this turning off a computer and having to turn it back on, one thing that a lot of you are probably realizing out there, listeners, is that some libraries will check for an ID. It's true. We can, again, scale this up. Maintaining anonymity requires more than just the use of software. Consider a closed circuit television.
Yep.
Right? And this sounds like some tinfoil stuff to people, but just for comparison, one of the most observed populations in the world is the population of the United Kingdom. According to the Telegraph, there's one surveillance camera there for every 11 to 14 people.
Oof. Yeah.
So
wow.
That means that no matter what you do, just in your day-to-day walking, even if you never leave your house.
And I should tell you that there's a fair percentage of those cameras that aren't connected to anything, but there are enough of them that are connected to something that,
that's a really good point. There are dummy cameras.
Oh,
there
absolutely.
Are a lot in the UK, but that is one of those things. Like
Panopticon, it's great.
Right. Cause if you think you're being watched, then you're more likely to behave yourself. That's kind of creepy.
That's the idea.
But that's totally the idea, right?
Sure. And just because you happen to live in a country that doesn't have such a widespread governmental program does not mean, I mean, here in the US, there are cameras everywhere, but they're mostly privatized.
Yeah.
I mean, some cities do have a lot of traffic cameras or stuff like that on a local level, but also the number of cameras that are watching you every time you step into a mall or Disney World or anything like that are
just
a lot of cameras.
Or just the cameras that are owned by private citizens that aren't doing, they're not trying to observe you.
Yeah, they're just observing.
They're taking selfies. Mm-hmm. They're taking selfies. Yeah, no, I'm just telling
you.
That's
a really
good
point.
There's stuff where, and this, you have no idea what kind of a security they may or may not be using.
Right.
So that information may end up becoming publicly available because they're uploading it to Twitter or something.
Sure. If Ben is down in an internet cafe searching for whatever bank robbery related stuff he's searching for, and Matt across the street is taking a selfie, and it's like, oh hey, isn't that Ben?
Yeah,
right
and,
there.
And he's tagged his selfie as my bank robbing adventure with Ben.
Yeah,
the cat is out of the bag, man.
Yeah, there we go. That's nice.
All right,
but that is a really good point. So if you wanted to be completely anonymous, one of the things you would have to worry about is your appearance and how it would look. So as silly as it may sound, it'd be better to vary your appearance while you're accessing these different sites.
Yep.
Which just sounds bizarre to me. If I had to do that,
yeah.
If I had to be anonymous, if any of us had to be that anonymous,
right?
Wouldn't it be time for us to really sit down and have a come to Sega moment with ourselves.
Yes, I would definitely need to start questioning my life choices.
Yeah, like what led me to this point where I can't let anyone know that I'm looking up a recipe for Scotch eggs
and
or
then,
whatever.
Yeah, if the world itself had reached that point, then you sit there and say, we have become one of those dystopian science fiction novels that I used to love because I thought of it as a warning for what the future could be, and now the future is that.
Mm-hmm.
Then you have a serious, like, okay, what now moment. But beyond that, I mean, you also have to think about the other devices that you own and whether you probably don't want to carry them with you when you're going.
Oh, yeah, great call.
Like, you don't want to have a smartphone with you,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yep.
You certainly don't want to wear your Fitbit. Yeah,
you don't want anything that's got Bluetooth on it. Like,
mm-hmm.
And we didn't even mention this, but I should go back and point this out, too. When you go and you're using some other places, internet, let's say that you do have like a super cheap notebook and you're just going to use it this one time. You've planned it out. This is
right.
This is you're going to send some messages. Maybe you are in like a foreign country and you have to get this information out. Mm-hmm. And this is your best chance. If you're going someplace that's using Wi-Fi, then you also have to remember there are programs that can sniff Wi-Fi.
Oh, yeah.
So it's essentially
them.
They're looking for the messages that are going between your computer and the wireless router in that business.
Right. You want a hard connection for better.
Yeah. Well, hard connection is better, or you want to have a way of making sure that you're encrypting any information that's coming between your computer and going to the router. Like if it's encrypted to a point where anyone listening in, they can grab the data, but they can't make sense of it, then you're better off.
Which is probably realistically the best you can hope for. There are some fantastic encryption programs out there. There are also some fantastic code-breaking programs out there.
Right.
And there are some that are classified. We don't know their capabilities.
Oh, yeah. And it's always an arms race with encryption.
Yeah, yeah. And that's just the nature of it. It pushes encryption forward, but it also pushes hacking forward.
Mm-hmm.
For example, the fact that now we have graphics processors that have multiple cores, that's what a lot of hackers use to try and break encryption. They write up a program, or more frequently, they download a program that someone else has written that will do a brute force attack, but they're doing it by dividing up the attack among multiple processor cores. So something that would traditionally take, 100 years for a computer to crack, because you've got other processor cores and they can all work on it in parallel, the more cores you have, the less time it's going to take you to actually break that encryption. That's kind of a scary world, but it's the world it's one of the trade-offs of having this amazing technology that lets me go online and get my my avatar blown away by a sniper for the 832nd time.
Hey, that guy's camping. Don't beat yourself up.
It's a legitimate strategy, though.
Yeah, so, it is. But
it is
this...
not.
Camping is not a legitimate strategy?
Oh my gosh, are you the sniper? Have you been anonymously?
Actually, Lauren is the sniper. She likes to go to the end of the map and in a nice little crow's nest area and pick people off.
I circulate, okay?
Well, that's true sniper tactics, though,
that's
right?
That's how snipers work.
You fire, and then you change locations.
Yeah.
We kind of got off on a tangent
here. I have something important that we should remember to say in this that I forgot. One of the biggest disadvantages, let's say everything works out, you have a spot-on disguise, and there you are in your poncho and your sombrero at the library.
Yeah, with monocle.
With your monocle.
And your crazy makeup to prevent any kind of facial recognition technology.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah.
Because forget 8.5 yards, right?
Right.
Let's do this if we're actually doing it.
Uh-huh.
And there you are, checking out your bank robbery stuff or whatever it is Matt's doing over there. And then you say, oh, okay, I'm in. I have X amount of time that I can spend here. And that's when you realize that accessing the web anonymously is pretty slow.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you're routing that traffic through a proxy or a VPN before it even gets to you.
Mm-hmm.
That does end up adding a lot of time. So if you're using something like Tor, if you've ever used Tor, then you may think like, oh, man, this is just crawling today. But that's because...
That's just Tor.
Yeah. The process that Tor uses, go back and listen to our Tor episode if you want to learn more about it. But the process it uses, while it is a pretty secure approach, recently we found out that not necessarily completely secure approach.
Dun, dun, dun.
But that does take time because instead of it going from the regular route it would across the internet if you were just using the surface web. It has to do all these jumps from one node to the next through a circuit of nodes before it can finally get to you. And that's on top of just the regular traffic it would normally do.
Oh, well, luckily you're not, again, you're probably not browsing Corgi videos via Tor.
No. I hope not, because you will be waiting far too long for the adorableness to come and hit you in the face.
Or at least that's what Big Corgi wants you to think, you guys.
Big Corgi. That's both terrifying and just absolutely, you know, awe.
It's just so fluffy. Yeah,
yeah, it's
so
fluffy. It's a slightly shorter Clifford the Red Dog.
Yeah.
Spoiler alert. Yeah.
I welcome our Corgi overlords.
Corg overlords. Yeah.
Corgo lords.
So we'll work on that one.
At any rate, the message you have to take home here is that the internet is meant, like Ben said, as a communications device, as something where people are accessing and sharing. And in order to do that, you have to give up some anonymity in order for it to be effective and easy to do. It doesn't mean that you absolutely must give up all anonymity. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that you cannot, at least upon occasion, do your best to cover all of your digital tracks and have a reasonable expectation of being, you know, pretty much under the radar. But in order to do it as, like, that's the way you access the web, it's really not practical.
Yeah, it's not practical at all. And for everyone listening in this, first I want to say, guys, thank you so much for having me on your show.
Oh, thank you for coming on the show.
It always makes my day. And I want a special message to any of your listeners. I hope you guys already know this. Incognito mode just doesn't leave a trace on your computer.
You're right.
Yes.
Everybody knows what you're looking at.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I mean, yeah, because the router that your computer is going to, everything is clear. Like, yeah. You know, when you type in www.corgisrobbanks.com, the router knows that that's the website you went to.
Your ISP knows.
Yeah. Everyone knows. And they know which IP, which computer looked up that information. The only thing that is being wiped clear is your browser.
Right. That's just so that other people in your house cannot immediately access the information.
Yeah.
Like, of where, like, you've been.
Jonathan's
online.
Got a real Corgi problem, and I'm going to prove it by looking at his search history. Oh, he's been using incognito mode.
Foiled again.
Yeah. That's the only time that works, right?
Yeah.
It's just
for
that machine.
So I just wanted to save anybody the trouble. And also, disclaimer for anyone listening in that might be working for a government agency. I have not planned to rob a bank, nor do I ever plan to rob a bank. I do, however, have a soft spot for Corgis. And yeah. I'll go on record with that one.
I mean, Ben actually helped produce an episode about why you shouldn't rob banks over on Brain Stuff.
It's the perfect cover.
Yeah.
Oh, you just
You're
ruined
ruining
it again.
Everything, Ben.
I'm really bad at this.
Yeah, well, once you do learn the definition of Bagman, it'll all just kind of fall into place. Well, Ben, thank you for joining us. And also, guys, if you haven't listened to Stuff They Don't Want You to Know or gone to see the videos and the incredible work that Ben and Matt are doing, you definitely got to check it out. It's some phenomenal stuff. There will be a companion episode to this episode you're listening to right now on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know, which we will be recording almost immediately after we sign off of this episode. So if you didn't get enough, if you thought, I have got to hear these three people talk more about anonymity and the deep web and things of that nature.
Corgis.
And Corgis will probably somehow make an appearance. We can't promise that. Maybe we'll have worked out the Corgis in our system by then. Go check that out. You'll definitely, if you enjoyed tech stuff, there's going to be tons of episodes on Stuff They Don't Want You to Know that are really going to appeal to you.
Absolutely. In that next episode I wanted to put in, we will go more into that Tor thing that we alluded to,
yes.
The recent problems that Tor has had and some of the reasons why even using Tor does not completely protect you.
Yes.
Which is pretty fascinating and terrifying at the same time.
Right. So if you want to know more about that, well, then you're going to have to subscribe to another podcast. But that's okay, because it's an awesome podcast, and you should be subscribing to it already.
But yeah, you can find all of their content, I believe, at stufftheydontwantyoutoknow.com. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Excellent. And their YouTube channel, I believe, is a
conspiracy stuff. We have like three names because we're trying to be an anonymous show on the internet.
Yeah, it does help
that
to
works
be able to
really good on YouTube.
Change
yeah.
your identity every mm-hmm. every 20 or 30 minutes.
You guys know that when people ask us in public, we say that we're YouTube.
Okay, that's fair. All right, well
which
then,
one of you is Lauren?
Well, that's all for our show today, guys.
Thanks, Ben, for wrapping up. Yeah, if you guys have any suggestions for future topics that we can cover on Tech Stuff, send us an email. That address is techstuff@howstuffworks.com. Or you can drop us a line on Tumblr, Twitter, or Facebook. Our handle at all three is TechStuff, HSW. And we'll talk to you again really soon.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com.
No surprise here, but you know I gotta have my devices when I travel. I would be lost without my smartphone. I use it for directions, to find things to do, and most importantly, where to eat. I rely on it as a digital music player to enhance my experience as I explore a new place. Oh, and sometimes I even use it to make calls and stuff. That's the kind of traveler I am. And if you travel, you know what kind you are, too. That's why you go with the Delta SkyMiles Platinum American Express card. If you travel, you know.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off. Starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
You don't have to hop a plane to see the world. This month's Free This Week picks on Xfinity brings you around the globe. Experience life at a European resort in the hit comedic drama Seaside Hotel from Walter Presents. Watch romance blossom abroad in a Scottish love scheme from Hallmark Movies Channel. Celebrate Earth Month with planet-saving docuseries like EcoEye with Duncan Stewart on Magellan TV. And be transported to your happy place with iHeartRadio's Feeling Good playlist. Just say Free This Week into your Xfinity voice remote.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.